The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him, for his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord. May I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The boy was not quite two when his family fled for their lives, leaving their home and their country. The risk of staying was far too great. They had no choice but to risk whatever lay ahead. They went as quickly as they could. They only had each other and the few things they could carry. They crossed where they could, tried to avoid notice, and did their best to make a home in their new country. Years later, the boy, now a man, was homeless and relied on anyone who would give him somewhere to stay or something to eat. He hung out with a crowd of screw-ups and troublemakers, and people were suspicious of him wherever he went. He was accosted and questioned by the authorities on a regular basis until the day he was finally arrested. It took no time for him to be declared guilty. Many had been witnesses to his actions. And the sentence was death, and he was executed. This story is just like so many used in arguments about safety and the way that the lives of those who flee their own countries end up. Justification for policies to shut down borders, to protect ourselves from those kinds of people. But I'm not sure what we would be doing this morning if it were not for those kinds of people. Because the story I just shared was, of course, the life of Jesus of Nazareth. Subject to oppressive and violent governments, fled for his life to Egypt, lived as an itinerant challenger of the status quo, executed as a political prisoner, accused of sedition against the state. A man whose life began in a borrowed stable and who was laid to rest in a borrowed tomb. The entirety of his life relying on the generosity, the hospitality of others. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Now, more than ever, we cannot ignore these facts about Jesus. We must keep them before our eyes so that we do not look away from the suffering of those whose stories are not so unlike his own. Jesus was constantly on the move. The gospel full of action verbs and words like immediately that propel him forward to new towns and villages, to new encounters with people along the way. It's a hopeful orientation, a way of moving through life with the certainty of something more always ahead. Now, Jesus, who also happened to be the eternal Word of God, likely had a much clearer idea of what might lie ahead than you or I have. But that doesn't change the hope embedded in each encounter. The possibility of each person after the other discovering more about what the kingdom of God is like, how different it is from the kingdoms and powers of this world, and how they might join him in making the kingdom just a little more present here on this earth. This propels him always onward toward a world characterized by more love, more justice, more peace than there was the day before. From the way I told you the story of Jesus at the beginning of this sermon, you might be able to tell that the suffering of those seeking refuge in this country is heavy on my heart this week. The fact that we are gathered here this morning to worship, to spend time in the presence of a Savior whose story so closely resembles theirs, invites us to recognize Jesus in them, to see their sufferings as not so disconnected from theirs. And when we see Jesus' presence in the midst of this crisis, present among the children, we then must ask, where is Jesus among us? Where is Jesus in us? And how is Jesus calling us to live in this moment? Today's gospel is helpful in finding an answer. Jesus and the disciples are on the move, as always, and they're traveling through Samaria. The group is not received in one village, and so James and John, the quick to react sons of thunder, want to call down fire upon the unwelcoming Samaritans. Their reasons are quite justifiable. The rejection not only of them, but their beloved teacher. Historic animosity between Jews and Samaritans, and let's be honest, the pride and the undeniable cool factor of being able to call down fire on their enemies. But Jesus rebukes them and tells them to keep moving, that they will be received in the next village. All of the things behind James and John's words, the prejudice, the indignation, the pride, they contribute nothing to the mission. In fact, they directly interfere with it. They want to destroy. Jesus wants to keep going. The moment they let themselves be drawn into their triumphalism, on their own self-righteousness and the unworthiness of others, the moment they go there, they've taken their eyes off Jesus. They've lost sight of the mission. They've turned away from the hope that is ever out ahead. And so Jesus rebukes them and shows them what to do instead. He keeps moving. As they're walking along the road, someone says that they'll follow Jesus wherever he goes. And Jesus reminds this person that following Jesus is not about a destination, a stopping point, but about always being on the move, always going further in proclaiming and bringing about the reign of God here on this earth, doing what we can each day to transform this world a little bit at a time, to participate in the coming of the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. There are more who wish to follow Jesus and name other obligations they need to complete first. And Jesus' response to them is to follow him, to keep moving. Don't stand around weeping, keep moving. Don't look back, keep moving. It's not that their desires to care for their family and fulfill their work obligations are bad things, but they become a problem when they get in the way of the mission, when they become more important than our primary vocation as Christians, which is to follow Jesus. What does following Jesus look like in this time of humanitarian crisis at our borders? And our scriptures give us guidance on this. Jesus' face was set on Jerusalem, on the challenges that lay ahead as he proclaimed the good news of God's love for all people, as he would give up everything for this mission, that the whole world would know it and live into it. This mission is our mission too, for as Paul writes in Galatians, it was for freedom that you were set free. We enjoy freedom in Christ so that the world might know it too, and not just spiritual freedom. We do ourselves and this work no service when we leave it in the metaphorical sphere. The gospel continually leads us forward toward more inclusion, more justice, more love. How many ways we can find to distract ourselves, to look away from where Jesus is leading us forward and asking us to follow. What are the excuses that we make? What are the things that we focus on instead of the mission of Christ? I'm too busy. There's nothing I could do anyway. That's their problem. Those people started it. I don't want to offend. I don't want to be political. The problem arises when these concerns stop us in our tracks, when we let them take the most central place in our lives and let them stop us from following Jesus as he journeys onward in the mission of proclaiming more love and more inclusion for all people. When we let ourselves get stuck in our here and now and in our everyday busyness, we lose sight of hope. Hope that God can still bring light in the midst of any darkness this world has to offer. Hope that we can be a part of making this world just a little more like heaven each day. There are practical things I can tell you about what living with this hope looks like in the face of the migrant crisis at the border. Contacting elected leaders, joining protests, advocating for humanitarian aid, freedom from the camps, protection for undocumented immigrants here in our local community. We don't have the physical proximity to the border, but we have people here in this community who need our help and support. And there are opportunities to accompany undocumented immigrants through court proceedings. And if you want to know more about any of these, let's talk. I can connect you with resources and ways to help. But even before all of this, as Christians, our mission begins with a reorientation of our minds and hearts. To remember the stories of these children who have nowhere to lay their heads are not so different from the story of our Savior. We see Christ in them. We hold them in our prayers with hope. We hold them in our prayers so that we remember to be a part of fulfilling that hope. We don't have to have all the answers. We just follow the one who does. Our prayers help us to keep our eyes and our minds and our hearts open, so we see past the clutter of our everyday lives and hear the invitation from Jesus. Follow me. And then we follow. We let the one who experienced hatred and violence and injustice in his earthly life lead us onward. Because his life, death, and resurrection show us that love is stronger than the worst this world has to offer. And if we follow him, we can be a part of making this love real to a world that desperately needs it. And so we journey on, one step at a time. Amen.